I'd like to use this opportunity to make a correction on some of the teaching that I gave when I made the audio commentary on the book of Luke. I made this commentary in 1976 and 77. Now here, 10, 12 years later, I find that I have gained more knowledge and gotten more truth on some of the points that I didn't know about at the time I made that commentary. So I'd like to correct that. The subject that I want to discuss along this line has to do with the day of Jesus' crucifixion. When I taught the book of Luke back in 76 and 77, I believe that he was crucified on Friday and buried on Friday. And this is in accordance with all of the commentaries that I studied at the time. It was the general belief, and still is the general belief, of most Bible scholars that Jesus was crucified on a Friday. And the great problem that we have here is that he resurrected at the end of the Sabbath, which is approximately 24 hours or so later. And so it's most difficult to get 3 days and three nights out of that time span. And we have to really do some twisting of what the Bible says to actually make 3 days and three nights out of that period of time, that approximately 24-hour period. And the way that we reasoned about it when we taught it was that any portion of a day can be counted as the whole day. But still, even when we use that line of reasoning, we cannot get 3 days and three nights out of that 20-some-odd hour period. After much later study on this, I have now concluded that he was not crucified on a Friday, but he was crucified and buried on a Wednesday. And I would like to show how that the Bible does seem to clearly teach this. And in order to show this, we'd like to ask and answer four questions. Number one, how long was he in the grave? Number two, when did he resurrect from the grave? Number three, when was he placed into the grave? And number four, did the day of preparation have to be a Friday? So let us first of all go to our first question. How long was he in the grave? If we can determine how long he was actually in the grave, then that's going to give us a very important bit of information there as to when he was placed in the grave. So let us see what Jesus himself said about this length of time that he would be in the grave. In Matthew 12, beginning with the 38th verse, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So here we learn very plainly, very emphatically, that he was going to be in the heart of the earth, in the grave, 3 days and three nights. And this, Jesus said, would be the only sign given to this generation. Now, if they had any sign at all, it would be this sign, and he said it would be given 3 days and three nights. So if he failed to stay in the heart of the earth, in the grave, for 3 days and three nights, then certainly he failed to carry out this sign that he said that they would have. And again, in Matthew 16, verse 4, well, let us begin with the first verse of Matthew 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. So here again, Matthew emphasizes in his teaching that Jesus did plainly tell these people that they would be given this sign of the prophet Jonas. And earlier he said that that was that he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now the idea of this sign of the prophet Jonas was also referred to by Luke in Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 30. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now, we use this passage here in Luke to again emphasize the fact that Jesus promised very definitely, very emphatically, that they would receive one sign. And this one sign was the sign of the prophet Jonas, and it would be that as Jonas was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, even so he would be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. So we've had nothing said or implied that Jesus would be in the grave any longer than 3 days or three nights, and certainly nothing said or implied that he would be in the grave any less than 3 days and three nights. Again, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So here we have a reference there of him rising on the third day after he was buried. And so everything seems to correspond to the fact that he needs to be in the grave 3 days and three nights in order to fulfill this sign that he promised, and we have no reason to believe that this is not exactly what did happen. Had he been placed in the grave Friday evening, shortly before sundown, and then resurrected again Saturday evening about sundown, then this would not fulfill 3 days and three nights. There's no way we can stretch our imagination and make 3 days and three nights out of this. The very most we can get out of that time span is 1 day and one night, and one part, small part of one day, and one small part of another night. As we look at the book of Jonah, we see that this is precisely the time that Jonah was in the great fish. In Jonah 1, verse 17, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Very plainly stated here, the length of time. And we may say, well, a fish wouldn't just precisely keep somebody 3 days and three nights. That must be just a rounding off of the time period. But we see that it wasn't up to the fish. The Lord had a hand in this. The Lord prepared the fish to swallow up Jonah. And then in Jonah 2, verse 10, "And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." So the Lord was the one that provoked the fish to do what he did. The Lord is the one that determined the time here. And it said in every place it would be 3 days and three nights. That's what Jesus said about the time period. That's what Jonah said about the time period. And so we have to begin to think very seriously then about the fact that in order for Jesus to have given the sign that he said he would give, the only sign he said he would give would be this period of 3 days and three nights in the grave. And there even seems to be a reference to this time period in a prophecy given in Hosea 6, verses 1 and 2. There Hosea says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day will he raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." So our answer to this first question, how long was he in the grave, has to be that he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. Not 1 day and a part of another one, or a part of or two other days, but 3 days and three nights. That has to be in order to fulfill all that is said about the length of time that Jesus was in the grave. Now, after having answered the question of how long was he in the grave, let us answer the next question, when did he resurrect from the grave? And we're going to see that each of the four gospel writers give an account of this, and we're going to learn that it was after the Sabbath, before the sun came up. So as we know, the Sabbath ended at sundown on what we call Saturday evening, and the first day of the week began at that time. And so it would be right after the Sabbath ended and before the sun came up. So we have to say that he was in the grave the full length of time of that Sabbath, and then he resurrected. So let's look at Matthew 28, verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." So there it was, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, they came. Now, he had already resurrected at the time they got there. So this is telling us not exactly when he resurrected, but it's telling us that he had already resurrected by the time they got there. Again, we want to look at Mark 16, verses 1 and 2. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun." Here we see that Mark describes this at the very same time that Matthew did, after the Sabbath was over, and the very early part of the morning of the first day of the week, the rising of the sun. Again, we want to look at Luke 24, verses 1 through 3. There Luke records it like this: "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." Then in John 20, verse 1, John records it this way: "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." So all of these accounts show us that Jesus was already resurrected from the grave before sunup on the first day of the week. So his resurrection would have to be sometime after the Sabbath and before the sun came up. And so now that we see when he was resurrected, it's a matter of being able to then determine when he was put into the grave to be able to get the full 3 days and three nights. We could just simply count back from this time of his resurrection, 3 nights and 3 days, and we're going to see that he was put into the grave then about sundown on Wednesday evening. But rather than just conclude it with that, let's go ahead and see what the Bible does say about this. Let's see what the Bible says about when he was placed in the grave. And that's the next question we'd like to answer: when was he placed into the grave? Mark describes this time as when he was placed into the grave in Mark 15, verse 42. "Now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath." So here is when he was placed into the grave. It was evening time. It was the day of preparation, the day before the Sabbath. Again in Luke 23, verses 53 through 56, here we're talking about the actions of Joseph of Arimathea. Verse 52 says, "This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and when he took it down and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." This is definitely the day before the Sabbath. It is the day that they had to get all their work done in, because the next day was the day they must rest. They could not bury him the next day. They could not prepare the body the next day, so they were in a rush to get this done before sundown. The Sabbath drew on. It was late in the evening. It was about sundown when Jesus was placed into the tomb. Again, we'd like to look at John 19, verses 40 through 42. "Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, yet with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." So John correlates very closely with what Mark and Luke have said. This was the day before the Sabbath. It was the day of preparation, and they were trying to get him in the grave just before that Sabbath day would begin at sundown. Now that we've seen what Mark, Luke, and John have said about this, let's see what Matthew has to say about this same subject. Matthew gives us some information also. In Matthew 27, verse 57, "When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple." So we see it was even. We know that it was getting close to the end of the day. The Sabbath was drawing on now. "He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre." Now, verse 62 of Matthew 27, "Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He's risen from the dead, so the last hour shall be worse than the first." Now, in this account of the priests and Pharisees coming and demanding that he be guarded during that 3 days and three night period, they recognized the fact that he did say that it would be 3 days and three nights. And so they say, you be sure that it's made secure until the third day. In other words, they are well familiar with this prophecy, with this sign that Jesus promised that it would be 3 days and three nights, and so they were prepared to guard it for that length of time. After 3 days, I will rise again. That's the quotation that they gave from him. And he said that they came the next day that followed the day of preparation. So this would have to be the Sabbath day, of course. And we believe that these priests didn't wait any 12 to 24-hour period. They probably came immediately after sundown. Immediately after that body was put into the grave, they were there getting Pilate to put a guard by the grave. And that would be, of course, at sundown would be the next day. That's when the new day began. And that's when the Sabbath day began. So that's when they would have come to have requested this guard to be placed at the tomb. So all of these accounts very definitely correlate with the fact that he was placed in the grave sometime toward the end of the day, as the even was drawing on, as the Sabbath was drawing on, as the day of preparation was coming to an end. He was placed in the grave about the end of the day, and so then he would have been in there when the sun went down, and so the 3 day and three night period that he was going to be in the grave would begin to be counted from that time, from the time he was put in, about sundown. Now we have seen that he was going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. We've seen that he resurrected right after the Sabbath, before the sun came up on the first day of the week. He had already been resurrected. We see that he was placed into the grave toward the end of the day, just before the Sabbath began. Now we want to ask our last question, did the day of preparation have to be Friday? Here's the place where most people get the idea that this must be Friday. They say, well, since the Sabbath was Saturday, and the day of preparation was the day he was buried, then he must have been buried on Friday, because that had to be the day before the Sabbath, and it had to be the day that he was buried on. So here we're going to see a truth that most of the world does not seem to be aware of, and that is that the day of preparation did not have to be Friday, and we're going to learn that it wasn't Friday as we look back and see what the Bible says about the Passover and the great feast of unleavened bread, which we were in the midst of as we talk about this crucifixion and death and burial of Jesus Christ. To get the truth on this matter, we need to see what the Bible says and not just jump at some conclusions, because the day of preparation and the Sabbath are mentioned to immediately conclude that must be Friday. And so to get the truth about this, we have to go to see what the Bible says. And so to do that, we're going to Leviticus 23, where we have the teaching given about the Passover Supper and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In Leviticus 23, beginning with the 5th through the 7th verses, we read, "And in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no work therein." Here we'd like to strongly point out the fact that the day that was designated for the Passover and the day that was designated for the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread were days of the month, the 14th and 15th days of the month. So they would not be the same day of the week every year. They would not be Friday or Thursday or whatever each year. The day of the week would vary depending upon what the day of the month was for that particular year. And so this could come any time during the week. Any day during the week could be the 14th day or the 15th day of the month. And immediately when the 14th day was finished, then the 15th day began the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the time when they would have no leaven in their houses and eat this for a 7 day or full week period. And notice in verse 7, he says, "The first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein." So this first day then was to be a Sabbath day. It was a day designated to be treated like a Sabbath day. So any day of the week could have been the first day of this Feast of Unleavened Bread, and any day of the week could have been the day before it, which would be the day of preparation. So the day of preparation does not have to be Friday. The Sabbath day does not have to be Saturday, because it's going to be whatever day of the month will be the time for this 15th day of the month. So in the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no serve our work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is the holy convocation. You shall do no serve our work therein. So 7 days after this 15th day would be another Sabbath day. And it would, again, fall on a weekday. Not necessarily Saturday at all, but it would be a Sabbath day, a holy day that fell in the midst of the week sometime. Now we get more information about this as we skip on down to the 15th verse of Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16. Note, "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord." So the way we get the day of Pentecost then is to start counting from the morrow after the Sabbath that would come on the 15th day of the month, and you would go and count 7 Sabbaths. And after 7 Sabbaths are complete, then on the day after this 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days. It'll be the 50th day. And so this would work out very well then in the case of where we're talking about Jesus' burial. The 50-day period would begin to be counted the first Sabbath after this 15th day of the month, which would be the Saturday Sabbath, and that would count then for 49 days, and the day after would be the 50th day. So it doesn't change the thing that we know that has to do with the day of the Pentecost. It would come on the first day of the week. It would come 50 days later, but it would be counted from the Saturday Sabbath, according to Leviticus 23 and 16, and not from the Sabbath that was the day after preparation. And so, although this may seem to be a little bit confusing, it really fits very, very perfectly. What happened is, Jesus was resurrected right after sundown on Saturday night, on the 7th day. And so if he's going to be in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, you simply count back a full 3 day and 3 night period, and that puts his crucifixion and death and burial on a Wednesday. And so he was placed into the grave about sundown on Wednesday. The next day, being the 15th day of the month, which was Thursday, would be a holy Sabbath, would be a day in which they could do no work, would be a holy convocation according to the law. And so certainly Wednesday was the day of preparation. It was the day they had to hurry up and get this done because they couldn't work the next day. They got him in the grave about sundown Wednesday night. He was there for 3 full nights and 3 full days. He did resurrect on the at the end of the Sabbath. And so everything fits perfectly. We don't have to worry about the Sabbath day having to follow Friday, because the Sabbath could come any day of the week. It was fully laid out in the Bible that it would be treated as a Sabbath. No work was to be done therein. So this Sabbath came on a Thursday. The day of preparation was on a Wednesday. And we do not have to stretch or strain anything to try to have the burial take place on Friday. There is no such thing as Good Friday. The Good Friday doctrine is simply a myth. It does not fit with what we know about the other teachings of the Bible here. And so to make everything consistent, to make the sign that Jesus said would be given a true sign, the sign of Jonas, we have to have him in that grave 3 days and 3 nights, and he was. There is no way we have to stretch or strain the interpretation of these scriptures. Everything fits perfectly, and so it's according to what the Bible says about the coming of the day of the Passover and the day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the day of preparation did not have to be a Friday. It could be any day of the week. And in this particular case, to make everything fit according to the prophecies, the day of preparation was on a Wednesday. The Sabbath, which was the 15th day of the month, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, was on a Thursday. And so that makes everything fit perfectly. All is harmonious. There is no conflict. There is no stretching or straining or twisting or resting of the Scriptures. There is another passage of Scripture I'd like to look at here real briefly. A passage which is very interesting, but if it's misinterpreted, it could be confusing. In Luke, the 24th chapter, we have the story of the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus. This is on the first day of the week, the day immediately following the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus had only been out of the tomb now just so many hours. And as they were walking along and discussing the tragedy of what had happened to Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus himself approached them, and they didn't recognize him.
And so Jesus asked them what they were talking about and what things it was they were discussing. And so they began to tell him how that this Jesus of Nazareth had come and he had been crucified by the priests. And so they say in verse 20, how the chief priests, our rulers, delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. This statement, today is the third day since these things were done, gives the impression on the service that maybe this is the day that Jesus resurrected. This was the third day. But this word for day in the Greek is called semeron, S-E-M-E-R-O-N. And according to the Greek dictionary of the New Testament found in Young's Concordance, this word actually can mean, and I quote, the day or night, current or just past. So this word, according to the Greek dictionary, doesn't have to mean the current day. It can mean the previous day, which would fit everything very perfectly, since the previous day actually was the third day since he was put in the tomb. So this scripture, too, is very much in harmony with the idea of Jesus being in the tomb 3 days and three nights, and the Saturday, or the Sabbath, being the third day. So I would like to ask a very simple question here. If Jesus had been trying to tell us that he would be in the grave 72 hours, how could he have said it any differently to make it better understood? He tells us as plainly as language can make it that he'd be in the tomb 3 days and three nights. And why are we so dead set to make it Friday? Why not argue for Thursday instead of Friday? Even Thursday is closer to the period described by Jesus than Friday. Or is this contention for a Friday crucifixion, the twisting and resting of Scripture, simply to uphold the tradition of the apostate church so they can have their Good Friday? This is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.